Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hello. And I, by the way, speak sarcasm as a first language, proudly so. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, time is 3:11. I mentioned this yesterday, and something about which I want to get your input here on News Radio 930 WBEN, and that is, do you still rely on the big network TV newscasts for your fix of national news information? If not, when did you stop relying on them? And basically, there is a crisis with these formerly very prestigious outlets like ABC, NBC, CBS, and even Fox has hemorrhaged viewers, although they still handily defeat CNN for reasons that escape me. But anyway, we grew up, many of us grew up in an era where, and I don't mean to pick on Channel 2 or Channel 4, but there was a time when Channel 7's Eyewitness News, that was a, pardon me, must be the Canadian wildfire. But anyway, there was a time when the big TV station in Buffalo, believe it or not, was Channel 7. You wouldn't know it now. But back then, they had Irv Weinstein, Tom Joles, and Rick Azar. And they were an amazing trio of broadcasters. To say that Eyewitness News with Irv Weinstein owned the market would be an understatement. Nobody else even had a chance. Sometimes they might have shown signs of life, but it was Irv, baby. The way he wrote, the way he spoke, pistol packing punks, Buffalo Blaze busters. He was all about alliteration. And then, of course, after Channel 7's Eyewitness News, for a long time, many of us would stay with ABC World News Tonight. Remember Frank Reynolds? Remember Frank Reynolds when somebody told him the President Reagan's press secretary had died of his gunshot wounds, and then they had to say, nope, he's alive. And Frank wasn't really too happy because he was there on set trying to tell people what was going on, and he got bad information, and he's out there with it hanging in the wind. So I can't blame him for being a wee bit on the snarly side at that particular moment. But then Peter Jennings came along, and Peter Jennings, I've got to tell you, Peter Jennings, the best breaking news guy on a variety of stories that I have ever seen. I've gone back, I've watched every tape I can watch of the Kennedy assassination and all the network coverages of the Kennedy assassination. And I will also say that those people in 1963, given the limited technologies to which they had exposure, and given the times in which they lived, they were amazing. When I watch those old tapes of the day President Kennedy was shot, of not just Walter Cronkite but ABC and NBC as well, what they did with limited tools was nothing short of amazing. And the talent was absolutely incredible. Even on the Dallas affiliate, the local affiliate, you had local people who were really, really good. And of course, a lot of people got their first exposure to Dan Rather during the Kennedy assassination era in Dallas. But there was a time, getting back on track, there was a time when you would watch your local news at 6, and then, if you'll notice something, something interesting happened to the local news. Number one, news got shorter, I think. Sports got longer, and weather became ridiculous. After the blizzard of 77, it's almost like weather went from an afterthought to the biggest possible story every single day. Yeah, true story. I think that's true. But when the local news ended, okay, after Tom Joles would say, Salubrious, it was ABC, it was CBS, or NBC. And growing up, I believe early in my life, I think Mom changed the TV to Walter Cronkite and CBS. And as I got older, we just stayed with Channel 7 and Frank Reynolds, ABC, stayed with Frank Reynolds and then Peter Jennings. And we liked Peter Jennings. Now, frankly, our politics probably wouldn't be corresponding, but I thought Peter Jennings was really super good at what he did. And especially with breaking news situations over a number of different news stories, he was really quite good. I was always convinced that if the world had ended when Peter Jennings was on the air, he would have remained calm, cool, and collected. He would have just casually said, and as we look at the clock, the Russian missiles are about 10 minutes away from right now. If we're still here after that, I hope you'll stay tuned because we'll be talking with the White House about this current situation unfolding. I mean, he was just like unflappable in a situation of breaking news, which is very, very important because frankly, when news breaks, you get so many differing reports and so much information coming at you all at the same time. And then you have to remember that people are tuning in at different times during your presentation. So it's very important to restate exactly what is going on and what is known to be a fact, what is believed to be a fact, what may be a fact, what has been ruled out as a fact as often as possible, because people can hear the desperation. I mean, the importance in your voice. Like, I need to be heard. This is important stuff. And if they're going to tune in, you're going to tune in. You got to know that I'm going to tell you what's going on every few minutes so you're not out of the loop, okay? And a lot of that, frankly, I got from Peter Jennings, not going to lie. And a few other people along the way I have ripped off. I mean, assimilated. So the network news at one point was a community thing, okay? Everybody watched network news. It was kind of a rule when I was growing up that the 6 to 6:30 time block, you got your local news, sports, and weather. 6:30 to 7, that was set aside for national news. But some really weird things have happened, especially in recent decades. Every network newscast has gone down and down and down because, well, first of all, look, I mean, the numbers don't lie about this. Network TV news, the big three, ABC, CBS, NBC, since the 1980s and the 90s, when the viewership peaked, they've lost tens of millions of nightly viewers since the 1990s. ABC, CBS, NBC. Here's the thing. The people who are still watching network news at 6:30, you tend to be old with a median age of dead, 10 years or more. That may be a flawed statistic. I'll have to go back and state that again. Younger audiences, they don't even bother with network news. And getting back to it in all seriousness, the TV network news viewer, the median age is 60 years of age. That's the median age, 60. And you're wondering, well, maybe it's because everybody's on cable. Well, maybe not, because you've got legacy networks like CNN, MSNBC, Fox. They also have seen massive erosion of viewership. Now, why would this be? Why would this be? Well, for one thing, streaming. And for something else, independent platforms are taking market share, okay? And let's just talk for a moment about why some of these things are happening. Now, as much as you might think, and you know, I'd like to think this too, and part of me thinks it at least is a contributing factor, the network newscasts got awfully politically propagandistic. And the more they got so, the less you could really trust them as news sources. And the more you basically got aggravated watching them, because especially if you are all about the truth and you like unbiased reporting, there are words that can be used. I pointed out one yesterday, President Trump on windmills. One of the stories said he was on a tirade. That's a pretty pejorative word. See, if it had been an agenda the media favored, he would have passionately championed. Big difference versus a tirade. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So the media, though, in 2025, so incredibly fragmented because way back when, people had three choices. Maybe your parents, maybe you growing up. Now, and I'm talking about, by the way, NBC, CBS, ABC. Now, at this point, you've got YouTube, you've got podcasts, social media feeds, you've got niche media news sites. And typically, people go where their worldview is represented, and they're not going to a place that they think controls the narrative. And if you think the media is biased in favor of left-wing causes, you should also know that some people on the left, they say the network news is basically the tool of billionaires and corporate control, so they don't think they're getting the true story either because, well, you're controlled by corporate. You're controlled by billionaires. How can you possibly be telling the truth? So the middle in this country seems to be basically shrinking. And the trust in media poll that Gallup does, near record lows for network news credibility. Some of you stopped watching network news because you felt that they were pushing a prepackaged narrative instead of actually digging for truths they might find uncomfortable. Some of you may have been turned off by the never-ending panel discussions. Hey, a panel discussion can eat 5 minutes of a newscast very easily. Guess what? That's 5 minutes less you have to fill with your own content, which would be gotten by hiring a couple of reporters and putting them on the trail of a story. A lot cheaper to do a panel discussion, frankly. Also, let's not forget the technology, because do you have to wait until 6:30 to find out what's going on in the news? Maybe 30 years ago. But right now, you want to find out what's happening in the news. Obviously, News Radio 930 WBEN would be a great place. But your own phone, you get the notices just like I do. Holy cow. Ozzy Osbourne died? Ding. My goodness. Lonnie Anderson died? Ding. Every time somebody dies, your phone dings. Every time something important is going on, your phone will ding or you'll see it on your news feed. So I think the network newscast now, in addition to whatever argument we may have with the content and the narratives they spin, it's almost as though they are anachronisms. They're out of place in time, because don't they feel slow and don't they feel kind of irrelevant? Because by the time 6:30 rolls around, something that happened at 3 o'clock has already probably changed. There are probably some new facets to that story and new reactions to that story. So the network news may not even be news. It may actually be history. It's kind of like news magazines. Remember news magazines? U.S. News and World Report, Newsweek, Time Magazine. Are they even mildly relevant now? I don't think so. I don't know what people are going to read in doctors. Oh, never mind. They're cell phones. Duh. Now, the Generation Z people, and the younger millennials, they have grown up without the habit of watching TV news at all, because what they do is they watch TikTok, X, Instagram, Facebook. They're not watching 22 minutes of news and 8 minutes of commercial. So the big picture on this is it isn't simply the fact that the journalism sucks. It's not just the fact that they're biased one way or another. Basically, it's almost like what we're seeing and have seen happen with the newspapers, like the Buffalo News. Institutional collapse, because they've lost their relevancy. I mean, look, their political bias didn't help them, but it wasn't determinative. Let's put it that way. Now, the Buffalo News, we're going to talk about relevance here for a moment. The Buffalo News, they made a decision many years ago to become essentially the official organ of the Democrat Party. And they consciously seem to have said, yeah, you know what? We're going to alienate 50% of the population. Not a good strategy. Not a good strategy for a newspaper, okay? Because it's super expensive. And the Buffalo News used to be important. And every day that goes by, the Buffalo News, it's just not important. It's not relevant. How many young people do you know who actually read the newspaper? How many subscribe to the newspaper, right? Probably not many. So does network TV news have a future? Wow. I really don't know. I don't know. Possibly. I mean, never say never. And it really hasn't hit a catastrophic iceberg. It seems to be more of a slow leak like you'd have in your tire when the valve stem starts to act up on you. So, I mean, network TV news, it's not dying because you don't care about the news. It's dying because you care about the truth more than the packaging. And I think you also care about getting your news in as timely a fashion as possible. And why would you wait until 6:30 when you can just go to your phone right now and not just read what's happening, but see a catchy video on it? So all of these things being said, I go back to what I said at the beginning of this little soliloquy, which is that way back when we in America had this communal newscast thing, Walter Cronkite, he was the most trusted person in America at one point. Can you think of anybody in TV or radio? Can you think of anybody in media that you would say, wow, that's the most trusted person in America? You'd probably be hard pressed unless you're a super fan of somebody. That's unusual. But anyway, we all used to watch the same stuff, okay? And you had three choices, basically. If it wasn't NBC, it was CBS or ABC. That no longer is nearly what it used to be because of the hemorrhaging of viewers. And frankly, again, Fox News, CNN, they also have hemorrhaged viewers. CNN is only available to airport travelers and certain people in doctor's offices that haven't been replaced yet by HGTV. But anyway, I guess I have to ask you, from where do you get your national news? Your national news. Do your kids even bother with TV networks? Oh, mom, just calling to make sure you've got 6:30 news on. Oh, good, okay, because I'm watching. I've been waiting all day to find out what's happening in the world, said nobody in the last 15 years. 803-0930. Star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And do you have any trust in media? Seriously, or has it all been washed away by a storm of indignities and false stories and hoaxes? Is there somebody that you trust to tell you what's going on in the world? You know, like me? Probably not. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about this because it should be plenty. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with calls on WBEN. It is Bowerly.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Righty then, it is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. So a question for you, and this came up during yesterday's show, and I must ask it. I did this a while back, but from where do you get your national news? Does the 630 network news even matter to you anymore? Basically, the median viewer of the 630 nightly news is 60. That is the age of the median viewer of the nightly news. And I will tell you why I think the networks have lost tens of millions of viewers since the 1990s, including, by the way, Fox News. I believe that it's actually two factors. Number one, I think that people on the right gave up on network news a while ago. I think they realized that it was basically propaganda, the power of language to influence perceptions of stories. I gave the example from yesterday of President Trump, his remarks on windmill being called a tirade. And if he was going in favor of windmills, it would have been an impassioned plea. There's so many ways to frame something, and they always seem to pick the pejorative one when it comes to something on the right side. That is the politically right side. The other reason I believe the networks have really fallen off is that who could have seen these little portable computers we lug around with us everywhere and invariably lose at the worst possible time and moment and place? Who possibly could have foreseen that all of us would be connected with every breaking bit of news we could possibly have in our little cell phones? They're not cell phones, really. Oh, they can make calls, receive calls, but you know and I know they're only pocket computers, more powerful probably than the ones that helped get us to the moon. Or did we go there? But anyway, 803-0930 is the phone number. So basically, here's the deal. Now, with this proliferation of news outlets, including the guy in the t-shirt broadcasting from mom's basement, with the proliferation of outlets out there, you literally have more choices than you've ever had before in terms of, how am I going to stay informed about the world? And you may have actually replaced the 6:30 news with something else, possibly online. That might be you. And one of the shows that I do watch is And We Know. And it is, I will say this much, it's extremely interesting. I mean, the guy does get a little religious-y for me sometimes, which is kind of a turnoff because I'm just not a religious person. But the information is extremely interesting. And it's very well done. And that, to me, and to the princess, if we ever had thoughts about watching the 6:30 news ever again, which said neither of us ever, if we ever had those thoughts, though, they were absolutely taken away by watching that particular podcast. And sometimes you don't even watch it. You can just listen to it if you're busy doing other things. And he will describe, the guy's name is LT, he will describe what it is that people are seeing on the screen, who are watching, who are watching the video feed as opposed to just listening to the audio, which is extremely convenient if you have a very busy schedule or you happen to be driving or something like that. We usually get to it through Rumble. I believe they've also got an independent website, but don't quote me on that. But I found that to be a great replacement, that and a couple of other things, for the network news. The other thing, too, as I mentioned, I do believe that there are two reasons why the TV news networks have dropped, actually hemorrhaged. They've lost viewers. Like New York and California are losing population, okay? It's just been a steady stream. And I do believe that a lot of people got away from the network news because of the left-wing bias. And I think an even greater factor than the left-wing bias or any concerns the left might have had about corporate ownership is the fact that the relevancy vanished, because now you don't have to wait till 6. When's the last time you waited until 6:30 to catch up on a national story? 20 years ago, maybe? Because if something big happens, you are on it immediately. You don't wait till 6:30. And like I said earlier, this waiting until 6:30, you don't need to do that anymore. It's a whole new world, baby. It's a whole new you. And here's something else. And this is interesting for conversations purposes, but it's also disturbing in a way, and I will tell you why. Social media with younger people. Okay, Generation Z. Now check this out. 74% of Generation Z. Where do you think they get their news? Come on, where? They get their daily news from social platforms more than older millennials, okay? Now, TikTok, believe it or not, is especially powerful. About 39% of adults under 30 use TikTok regularly for news. What's interesting is every time I'm on TikTok, all I get are cat videos. They're very entertaining and very well done. Ooh, look, a raccoon just adopted a cat. The obtaining of news from TikTok, 39% for adults under 30. In 2020, 5 years ago, it was 3%. Now it's 39%. Instagram is also huge. About 39% of Generation Z, they get news daily through Instagram. That's even more than Facebook for that particular age group or demographic. And another interesting thing that we see happening in this digital age, and I'm an analog guy, it's really weird, Generation Z, they get news in their feed on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, even if you're not seeking it. Because you know that those feeds are custom made for you. You know that your cell phone listens to what you say. And if you say the word shark 5 times in an hour, suddenly you're going to start getting news stories about sharks. About 1 in 5 adults, you get news from influencers on social media. And with younger users, guess what? That is even greater. Now, influencers, I mean, look, they're influencers for a reason. Do you want an influencer who's going to influence you, or do you want somebody who's just going to tell you the truth as they see the truth? Some might say, well, Tom, that's one and the same, and it may be. Now, among the really younger people, 13 to 18 years of age, 39% again say they often get news from influencers or celebrities on YouTube or social media, but only 15% say they trust those sources a lot. And a lot of times what they'll do, and kudos to the younger people for this, if they see something that isn't making sense, they will try to get context or confirmation of what they have seen in social media. And they will go to quote unquote reliable media like the New York Times or outlets they were previously exposed to that they think are reliable sources for information. So basically, we have this weird situation where the media landscape has changed and the way in which we get information has changed drastically over in recent history. I mean, just even in the last 5 years, you see what TikTok has done as a news source. But I will tell you that, and I'm not just saying this because of what I do for a living at this point, it's I have grave concerns about AI because how many times have you been on social media or online recently and you've seen a video that looks like the bear really is sitting down at a park bench and really is taking the guy's baseball hat and putting it on his own head? How cute. Isn't that wonderful? It's baloney. It never happened. And this is a little bit unsettling to me because people, how many of you, and I know somebody like this, how many of you will end up in a conversation with a friend who will say, hey, did you hear about X, Y, and Z? Well, here's what they did. And they will paint some outlandish, ridiculous news story involving X, Y, and Z, or A, B, and C, whatever, depending on what end of the alphabet you're on. And then you do your own research and you find out, yeah, you know what, this never happened. What is your, seriously, what's the source of this? It's a guy on the internet. A guy on the internet? That's not giving me an awful lot. It's a video I saw. A video? Well, where is the video? And did it say artificial content, AI generated? Over the weekend, for example, and you can see these clickbait things all the time, and they have proliferated enormously with the implementation and development and advancement of artificial intelligence. Watched a video about the Chinese Navy challenged the United States Navy in the South China Sea, and they regretted it. So I watched this video for a few minutes and I'm thinking to myself, okay, and this was reported nowhere. Why? Not even on some of the obscure military sites. And did my own research and the video was absolutely, it was nonsense. What they were saying and alleging happened in the South China Sea did not happen. However, it might happen, but it didn't happen yet. So unless they're doing psychic news, it was a BS story. And many of the commenters, by the way, did call it as such in the comments below the video. But it's kind of funny when you get a situation like that because you can see the CCP bots putting up comments on the video. United States colonial power out of South China Sea. We've been in South China Sea since the 11th century. When did you come along? And then the Americans, America. They'll come back at him. And it's just, okay, you're arguing with bots. You're arguing with bots, okay? They're communist bots. Yes. Anyway, from whom do you get your national news? And whom do you trust? Be honest. Do you just go to social media? Is social media your source of news? Is there a so-called influencer or whatever that you must watch? Like, I mean, I'm not here to plug somebody else's stuff, but I will say that one of the sites I go to every night practically is And We Know. Like I say, it does get a little religious-y for me, but I look past that because the content is good. And I found that to be, and a couple of others, I found that to be a great way to stay on top of what is happening in the news in such a way that I generally don't find my head exploding saying, oh my goodness, did you grow up with your head up your bottom? Because that ain't the way the world works. I don't find myself saying that during that particular show. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, let's face it. I mean, media respect and trust in media has gone down dramatically. I think I understand why. But also the utility of media, I think, has gone down because it really hasn't kept up with, in many cases, the technological advancements that have been made in media. And people, look, people don't like to wait. We don't like delayed gratification, okay? We want what we need to know right here and now. And now, since it's so easy to do, the 6:30 news is just kind of a, don't you think it's kind of an antique? It's kind of a relic of history? I don't know. I definitely believe that. But the AI thing really concerns me because there's no vetting. People could easily be fooled by AI stuff. And it's very, very, it's disturbing. AI is very interesting, but it's also in some ways kind of troubling and upsetting because I do think it could be abused badly. And I do think AI is probably going to destroy humanity and start a world war. But whom do you trust with national news? And do you even, is the 630 Network News not even a part of your life anymore? Are you still a devoted religious viewer thereof? And you know what's really interesting is that mom, at 90 years of age, you know what? She used to be all about the network news at 630, and she wasn't. She truly lost interest in the network news. It was not covering what she wanted it to cover. It was not covering it, the national news, in a way that she felt was fair and unbiased. And her answer was she just tuned out, and she didn't use her phone a lot for the news content. But, you know, one of the things I don't think we've really gotten into that much is the podcasts. And the podcasts and the newsletters are very common information sources for people who want deeper coverage or perspectives that align with their views. And as far as the younger people getting their information on the phone, what happens here is I think it's Generation Z spends like 6 hours a day online. Yes, 6 hours a day online. They're almost always on devices. So if you've got that population coming into, well, in adulthood and coming into full adulthood, which I believe begins at 80, could be wrong, but, and they're always online, the 630 Network News doesn't really, is that really appealing? I don't think, no more appealing than a news magazine telling you what happened last week about which you've already forgotten, right? The news, also when you're online, basically it's based on an algorithm, and we got into this a little bit before, but what you are receiving are content streams. You're not making the choice to receive it. They're making it for you with algorithms. Think about that for a minute. And if they can make it for you with algorithms, they could also make it so you can get the messages they want you to receive. And with AI, videos or audio, you get something you think is legit. It might be a spoof. You have no bloody clue. And a lot of the Generation Z people don't trust the traditional outlets because they also feel that the legacy media is biased, it's sensational, it's out of touch, it's all about corporate America. And what you're looking for really is authenticity. What you're looking for is the truth. And that's always the age-old question, isn't it? What is truth? And I guess truth is what you believe truth to be. In some cases, I think other things are just patently true, but some things are matters for interpretation and context and life experience and putting everything into balance and perspective of what you happen to believe. And, you know, the thing is, I would say that, and by the way, where I get my national news, I would say the two biggest, I mentioned the one with LT, it's called And We Know. There's another one called X22 Report. Catch that every now and again. And X22 is also very, very good. It's not as visual as And We Know. You can actually close your eyes with X22 Report and basically not have to watch it, because unless you want to see the same picture of President Trump for 20 minutes straight, which, you know, I'm sorry, good looking guy, but not that great looking. So it is a way to stay in touch, but no matter what I'm watching or how I'm getting my information, what I am doing, I assure you, is if I hear something on one of these outlets that I say, wow, that's really, it certainly fits my worldview, but is it true? Darn right. I'm going to go and I'm going to research it myself, and I'm going to see what the other media sources are saying. And I apply my rule. The more the traditional left-wing media sources attack something, the more I regard it as true. I always think, oh, if they're getting heavy flack, they must be over the target. And maybe that's messed up. I don't know.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 8 minutes after 4 o'clock. By the way, some breaking news. I have just learned exclusively that the smoke from Canada is not from trees burning. It actually is from the clothes Canadians were going to discard on our side of the border, but they had to stay in Canada, so they're just burning their old clothes. It's not tree. It's just like old underwear and stuff, so breathe easy. The preceding was entirely fabricated, using artificial intelligence to generate artificial content. Yeah. Anyway, manipulated content. Welcome to the program, Bowerly. And tell you what, we haven't done this in ages. I mean, ages. And I'm feeling the urge. I have a great desire to do this. You know, sometimes doing this for a living, you kind of wonder what is motivating people like you listening to the program. And one of the great common denominators of talk radio is the bitch session. It's the gripe session. I don't call it open lines. I just call it, what are you angry? Of what are you angry? About what are you angry? What is grinding your gears? What is ticking you off? And the great part about that question is it could be almost anything. For example, you know, Joe Beamer talked about the Erie County Fair. Do you love it or not? And look, I went through a period where I thought the fair sucked. And I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, I went back to the fair with an open mind. And I thought, you know what? This is actually kind of fun. I'm having fun. I'm having a good time. Now, frankly, a lot of people bitch about the price of the fair. Adults, $17. A lot of people complain about that. They think that's a little steep for a day out. Now, the kids 12 and under are actually free with no ticket necessary. And, well, those were the advance sales. So if you got those tickets in advance, you're fine. But the gate admission, people really bitch because it's $22.60 for adults 13 and over. And kids 12 and under are free as long as you agree to have them trafficked, which is, I think, very inappropriate. Now, the kids 12 and under are free. But anyway, and by the way, I do take the child trafficking thing very seriously. Did you realize in the world right now, there are probably more people in what we would call slavery than hundreds of years ago? In particular, many of them are actually children. And this isn't some right-wing conspiracy nonsense stuff. I've looked into this, and we're talking about well over a million and possibly several million children who are held in captivity for disgusting purposes that adults have, which I think should just merit the automatic death penalty. Yeah, child traffickers, they grind my gears because I'm a kind of an easygoing guy in some respects, and I'm willing to cut people a break if they're decent people and they just had a bad day. You know, we've all had bad days. You have a bad day ever? I've had a bad day just Monday through Sunday every week, but I mean, I've had some bad days, and I kind of appreciate the benefit of the doubt being extended to me. And child predators, I can't go there because honestly, if it were up to me, despite my reverence for the rule of law and due process, tell you what, after due process, I'd have no problem just eliminating them myself, okay? I'm not a violent person in any way, shape, or form, but I got to draw the line with the child predators or child traffickers, and it really is a thing. When you hear people talking about it and you hear other people saying, oh, that's just right-wing paranoia, it's absolutely ludicrous. Child trafficking, worldwide sex trade in children, my goodness, listen to this right-wing propaganda. These people are insane. Do your own research into it like I did. I think you're going to come to a different conclusion. That really bothers me. That does more than grind my gears. That upsets the very basis of my humanity, if I have any left. So anyway, yeah, that bothers me greatly. For other people, however, getting back to it, the Erie County Fair. I mean, it's more mundane. Again, I love the Erie County Fair. I'm in love with the fair again, okay? And I have been for quite some time. Can't wait. You're going to see Joe Beamer at the Erie County Fair? He's going to be displaying his slender body. I understand he's going to be broadcasting shirtless. I could be wrong, but I thought I heard that from somebody. But people, I know historically, whenever I've talked about the Erie County Fair, people will call in and say, yeah, but showing up at the gate, it's almost $23. Yeah, the kids 12 and under are free, but 13 and over, $22 at the gate. Oh, my goodness. Well, one of the things that bothers me about people, maybe this is you, and I'm sure that there's nothing about me that bothers you at all. Nothing. I have no speech tics or any inflection that bothers you. I'm a perfect human being. Are you not going along with that? I better stop that train of thought right now. 803-0930. What is grinding your gears? My complaint line is open. I want to know what is just ticking you off big time. And grinding your gears came from an episode of Family Guy, and I can't do it nearly as well as Lois did. Grinding my gears. I can't do a good Peter Griffin. People I know can do a great Peter Griffin, but I was not in that club. Maybe the laugh sometimes. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, again, I want to emphasize, I love the Erie County Fair. It's been super cool, okay? Every time I've gone since I didn't like it, when I gave it a second chance, I went back every single year, true story. Now, there are some other things that really tick me off and concern me. Talked about this yesterday and a little bit today. AI concerns me. I think AI can be a very valuable tool, but I also see vast potential for abuse of AI, and I think it has the capacity to mislead people, and it's got to be really watched, because any sci-fi movie I've ever seen, you start giving the machines this kind of power, and they ignore the first directive, don't they? I'm just saying. AI concerns me because of the potential for misuse. It also excites me because it's a very valuable tool. College students do not have to write term papers anymore. You simply speak what you want into AI. It will give you a 100-page paper with footnotes if desired. And no, I'm serious. You think I'm lying. And AI actually will learn the way you write, learn the way you speak. So your plagiarism is not going to be nearly as obvious as it used to be. 803-0930, *930. What is your complaint? My complaint line is open. It might be something big, might be something small. I also would like to complain again about people who bring their damn dogs to outside public events, especially in the summer. What is the dog getting out of it? Absolutely nothing. To the dog, it's a bunch of feet and butts, and that's it. Fred Lancaster, welcome. You're on WBEN.
Oh, that's one of my better ones, but I'm gonna get a little obscure one. Whenever I go to a sporting event, and I've been to a number of them, away Bills games, how come my money says this is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and I cannot use money to make a purchase at the stadium?
Why do you think? Let's start with that. What do you think is going on?
I think they want to go to a cashless society, and that's Ding. Part of the indoctrination of people. But on the money, it says otherwise. It says I should be able to use that. You cannot deny me that right.
Well, I believe that the locale, the venue, can actually determine what it is going to accept for payment. You'll see a lot of other private businesses, like restaurants and bars, that will say credit card only. Some hair salons will take credit card only. So it's not like it's only at stadiums, but you know, my concern, I believe
it's off the money.
Should what?
Take that off the money. This is for all debts.
I know, but
remove that then.
I would be lying if I told you that I understand the intricacies of the law in terms of what that actually means legally, whether you must accept it or whether it is simply valid, but you have the individual choice of not accepting it, if you understand what I'm saying. So I can't really go down that road because I don't know enough about it. I'm not going to lie. But I mean, I could pretend, but you wouldn't be getting a good answer. But let's get back to what you said earlier. Hold on just a minute, because the cashless society, and what do you gain? Let's play along a little bit. What do you gain from a cashless society? Of what benefit is that, and to whom?
Well, I would say it's a definite benefit for control, because an AI helps out, because if you're going to go to a social scoring system, you want to be able to keep track of all the transactions, and you want to be able to keep, and you want to be able to penalize people to take, you know, discredit them and take away their ability to conduct commerce. So I think it's control by government for taxes, gathering of information. There's plenty of nefarious reasons to come up with.
Well, you know what, Fred? I absolutely do not disagree with you. The cashless society idea, I do believe, is about control. And I don't think you're very far off the mark when you say that eventually every person is going to receive social credit scores. And if you have violated the mores of the ideologues who say they're looking out for the planet, for example, we're going to maybe tax you at a higher rate. Oh, you're not living the kind of lifestyle that we want you to live. You're going to have to pay for that. Just open your wallet a little bit more. And I really don't think that that is paranoid. In fact, in China, somebody was telling me this. I don't know if it's true. So I'll repeat it on the air anyway and hope that it is. If it's not true, let me know. But that in China, if you jaywalk or something, they'll use the CCTV to identify who you are with biometrics, and then they will actually assess you a fine.
And the technology was never there to enforce all this, but the technology exists now, and you're seeing a push towards elimination of personal privacy and total control.
Well, the thing that's interesting about credit cards over cash is generally, as you know, the merchant is charged a 2% fee at least to run a credit card. And some merchants actually will charge more to make up for what they're losing by paying it to the credit card company. So the cash is really a preferred method of payment for a lot of people, like, for example, the people who clean my house for some reason. But that was a joke. But anyway, the not being able to use cash at a venue, yeah. You know what? And I'm sure you've seen people, sir, who don't have a credit card, and they're trying to get something to drink, and they simply can't.
And that's loss of choice, loss of your privacy is gone, because once you deal with putting this over a phone or a card, now everyone knows what you purchased. So
the thing is, though, nobody cares, Fred, about what you as an individual purchase. They don't care about that, but they do care about your metadata. That they care about. Because based on everything about you, they can custom tailor right now ads and commercial pitches for you. And in the future, they will be able to custom tailor pretty much anything to you.
Penalties.
Individual taxes you might have to pay for being a bad citizen.
Uh-huh. Or yeah, penalties for violating social rules.
Very interesting. All right, Fred, thank you very much. I appreciate it. The cashless society toward which we are moving, that is what is grinding his gears, what's ticking him off. My complaint line is open. That one kind of came from left field, and I really appreciated that because, hey, I'm the guy who said, I think this push for mass transit, extending the metro rail, and I think it's really just part of the scheme to get everybody living in cities where they're more easily controlled, and they want EVs so you can't get that far away from the city before you have to stop 20 minutes to charge it up, as opposed to your fossil fuel car. 5 minutes, and you're back on the road. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, yesterday, hey, no sooner did I get through talking about AI and the danger of manipulated content than Jim Acosta does an interview with a long-dead Parkland student through AI. I didn't have any inside information on that, just so you know, but sometimes I see trends happening and I know what's coming next, and I guess my timing was pretty good. Talking about what is grinding your gears, what is ticking you off, otherwise known as my bitch line, or my complaint line, if that's a better phraseology for you and your tender lily-like ears, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, Saul Elkin died a couple of weeks ago. Saul Elkin was instrumental with Shakespeare in the Park. He was also my drama teacher at UB, and really a mensch. He was a terrific human being, was Saul Elkin. He lived until, what, 93, 94 years old, died in the middle of July. But his death reminded me, one of my aggravations in life, and this is going to affect no one other than me, no one other than I care about this. Why is it that whether it's Shakespeare in the Park or Stratford, Ontario, they always seem to do the same Shakespeare plays over and over again. I know it's playing the hits. Who doesn't like Macbeth? Who doesn't think it was the finest play Shakespeare ever wrote? Nobody. I've never seen Richard II advertised to see that live. And it bothers me. It downright infuriates me that Richard II by Shakespeare does not get its due as a really awesome presentation. And it is probably one of the best character explorations Shakespeare ever did. And the subject, of course, was Richard II, but there also was another subject, and that was Henry Bolingbroke. That was a character study as well, and some of the ancillary characters as well. But I thought it was a brilliant play, but nobody bloody does it. So that aggravates me a lot. And again, I'm sure I'm the only person who will ever say, yeah, I'm really upset they have never done Richard II on stage that I've ever seen. I'd like to see that. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit weird. Something that I think maybe more of you can relate to, maybe, is, you know what else really aggravates me? And I'm scared about it. I'm concerned about it, okay? I talked about AI before. I'll tell you something else that bothers me is all of this talk about mankind will achieve singularity sooner than we thought. I'm sorry, singularity, isn't that a fancy way of saying we're going to be merged with computers? We're all going to have electronic brains? Isn't that what singularity is? And I'm sorry, what part of that is really good? Seriously, I'm talking about for most people. Now, look, there might be people who are paraplegic who are going to benefit with things implanted in their brains, and it's already happened. But for most of us, I mean, do you really want to be part of a machine? You want to be a cyborg? Is that you? I mean, really? Because to me, that what does it mean then to be human? I mean, this is a real moral question. I'm not a religious guy, but I think this is a very moral human question to ask. If people, human beings, are fused with machines, don't we lose a little bit of our humanity? It's kind of strange. We've already got people who are fused with machines. Try taking your cell phone away from teenagers. That's a fusion if I've ever seen one. All right, we'll continue with this after the news at 4:30 with Mr. Puckett talking about what is ticking you off. What is your biggest gripe? What is your biggest aggravation? Might be something big like this cashless society stuff, Tom. It's all about control. I'm inclined to agree with it, frankly. Might be something on the smaller scale like I'd go to the fair, but they charge too much money. Might be something a little philosophical, like the whole, we will achieve singularity. That's a little disturbing, man. When I was a kid, teenager, in my 30s and 40s, that was never even a thing that was going to happen in my lifetime. Now they're talking about it. We'll have singularity by noontime tomorrow. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It aggravates me. One of my complaints today, CCR, could they please get back together as much as possible? I know it's never going to happen, but if you've ever seen John Fogerty solo in concert, he does the CCR songs and just amazing. Saw him at Darien Lake a few years ago with Willie Nelson as the opening act, and then Willie Nelson came out and sat in the row next to where we were and watched Fogerty for a little bit, and then I knew he was there because I could smell weed everywhere. And I thought, oh, Willie Nelson's around. Oh, there he is. And I'll never smoke weed with Willie again, just so you're aware of that. Anyway, welcome. It is 4:38 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly. And I'm asking you, what is your complaint? What is driving you crazy? My complaint line is open, whether it is big or small, whether it is serious or perhaps a little bit trivial. Things that are bothering the hell out of you and you need to vent, you have to get them off of your chest. Man, I've come up with some pretty highfalutin ones. Come on, mentioned Shakespeare, talked about the singularity. Come on, you don't get that everywhere, do you? 803-0930, the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. One of the things that bothers me on a regular basis is, okay, I hate to be political and stuff, but the governor of New York State, Kathy Hochul, Frank Panasek, I think, said it best. For the first time since the 1880s, Buffalo has somebody as governor, and the person is just a complete buffoon. That's a paraphrase of his post on Facebook. But the whole idea about the, oh, what the Republicans are doing in Texas is horrible. Oh, I'm sorry, Democrats do the same thing in New York State, or am I just hallucinating? Because that's pretty weird. You can go to Elise Stefanik's social media and get more information about that. Kathy Hochul is, honest to goodness, I think she just had her eyebrows redrawn, by the way. Not the districts, but her eyebrows. But the, says the guy with the eyebrow tattoos. But anyway, just being authentic with you, just being genuine. But anyway, getting back to it. Kathy Hochul, you know what? I got to say, I've got no use for her. I have no use for her because she has absolutely no principles whatsoever. And I don't know if it's the fact that maybe she's not that smart, although she's going to be getting more pension money than I'll ever see. But I don't know if she's not, if it's because she's not that smart or because she's just that Machiavellian. But the way in which she conducts herself and does everything is just totally, is this the woman who was Erie County clerk said, I'll never give driver's licenses to illegals. And you just see her having changed and morphed into something other than what she was when she used to say, I'm a moderate Democrat. I'm a moderate Democrat. Really? Because Kathy Hochul, as governor of New York State, has been a complete left-wing lunatic because that's where the votes are in New York City. Speaking of New York City, maybe it bothers you. Did you see the New York Post headline? African-American meets Native American with the mayor candidate and Elizabeth Warren. You see that one? Anyway, the mayor's race in New York City. A lot of people are talking about that who ordinarily wouldn't pay any attention to what's going on in New York City. And that is going to be something to keep an eye on because there are some big players who say, look, this guy gets in, we're out of here. So again, people get that for which they vote. And if you've got a guy coming in who's already announced his plans, which are financially not even feasible, they're going to be even less feasible when more big money moves out of New York City and out of New York State, only to be pursued relentlessly by Department of Taxation and Finance. So if you do leave the state, make sure you document everything, because here's a little secret. They will ping your cell phone if they think that you are not really not living in New York State. True story. Here's Bill in West Seneca. Bill, what grinds your gears? What gets your goat? What ticks you off? I'm not going to use the P word today. 803-0930. What's up?
I got something amusing, but, Kathy Hochul ticks me off. But if you listen real close, she sounds like a younger version of a drunk Nancy Pelosi.
Let me get this straight. A younger version of a drunk Nancy Pelosi.
Correct. So maybe one day down the road, she'll be Speaker of the House and slurring her words and having a good time. I hope not.
You've noticed that too,
Mm-hmm.
The lack of diction sometimes is kind of interesting. Have you ever had the thought listening to Kathy that, I'm not going to say what you know I want to say. I'm just going to leave it hanging in the air like that. Because I've had that thought, like, is there a problem here that maybe she got to get addressed at some point? But I'm not saying what problem is. I'm just saying, is there a problem? But yes, I have noticed that. I mean, for all you know, I could be talking about a cognitive issue.
Could be, but we'll leave it where it is, and you be the judge.
Okay, so what else is grinding your gears? I'll tell you something else that's grinding my gears, the way the fake news is reporting on the Russia hoax.
I agree with that, too. There's plenty, but you got plenty of callers. So I just wanted to give you a chuckle and wish you a good day.
Okay, and we'll put Tanner on the trail here of tracking down Tanner, any chance you're going to be able to find? I will settle for just a young Nancy Pelosi compared against Governor Kathy Hochul. Do you think you can pull that off?
So young Pelosi compared to current Hochul?
Yes, sir. We're going to try to get that. And maybe we can figure out a way to make it with AI. Maybe we can sound the young. We can make the young Nancy Pelosi sound as though she might be intoxicated with AI. And we could also join the artificially generated content line. I mean, Bellavia had it was funny the way if you didn't hear David Bellavia today, you should go back and listen to it, because he had an interview with Amelia Earhart, who suddenly in eternity has developed a British accent. And also, who was it? Paul Wellstone was on David's show today. Well, not really. basically, David basically said, look, if Jim Acosta is going to bring a dead kid from Parkland and make him a mouthpiece for various policies Jim Acosta is in favor of espousing, then he's going to bring back Amelia Earhart and Paul Wellstone, both of whom were surprisingly anti-Semitic on the program. I don't know if you heard that, but it was like, David, come on now, just stop it. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930. What is grinding your gears? What is aggravating you? What complaint do you have? Something that is, I think, relatively minor but important to people, the bike lanes on major roads. We've talked about that a lot. Something else, your ridiculous electric bills. That would drive me absolutely crazy. How about, and we've talked about this as well, the electrification of New York State. I was talking with somebody just this morning about that, who is just very, very furious about that. And he happens to know Phil, our caller, who calls in every time we talk about electrification of New York State. They actually are well acquainted with each other. And it just is, for reasons we have gone into a lot, it is something that is of great concern to me, and frankly, it angers me. What angers me, I think, the most is, how can these people who are supposed to be in leadership positions be so incredibly stupid? Is this the Peter Principle in action, where people rise to the level of their own incompetence? Much in the way I have, actually. Where they rise to the level of their own incompetence? Because in what kind of a brain does it make sense to further burden the overworked electrical grid of New York State with even more demands on it? And yesterday, I think I called it like, they're telling you to line up for water and the well only has enough water for maybe 70% of you. The other 30% are going to be SOL. That doesn't make any sense. And of course, well, they have to upgrade the electrical grid. Well, yeah, and you're going to pay for it. Public Service Commission says they're going to pass the cost on to you. And as I have mentioned repeatedly, you're also going to be on the hook for increased school taxes. You don't think these school districts are going to sell cookies to buy electric vehicles, right? They're going to be mandated, which means they're going to pass the cost on to you. And they're going to say, we had no control over this. This was a state mandate. And this isn't our principals or teachers driving Bentleys. This is a state mandate. And you're going to have to pay for it. It's another unfunded New York State mandate where they decree what is going to be done, but they do not have a funding mechanism. And they can say, even if they develop, well, we're going to be giving out state grants. Oh, really? Well, whose money are you giving away? You're giving away the money of the people that you took it from who work for a living or businesses in New York State. I mean, the money is just not growing on trees, is it? Anybody have a money tree? Anybody ever hear the expression? Did your grandparents ever say, I wish I had a money tree? My great-grandmother from Germany was rather scatological, and I won't say the word she did, but I'll put it in radio language. She used to say in a very heavily German accent, I wish I had a money pooper. Except she didn't say pooper. She said the other word. And yeah, Dan and Tonawanda can relate. 803-0930 is the phone number. What is upsetting you? What is your complaint? And I can't believe I've mentioned the singularity and nobody has called in about that. Really? Am I the only person? Let me take that one step further. The World Economic Forum. I'd like to lodge a complaint against the WEF. You know, you will own everything and be happy. And here are some tasty insects. Bon appetit. Have a great dinner. The push to get us eating bugs... And frankly, I think the push to have us all living in major cities, I think it's all about control, as our first caller on this subject mentioned when he brought up the cashless society. And the cashless society, not being able to pay cash at some places, really doesn't bother me. I mean, look, the data about each and every one of us, you're all concerned about, you know, being spied upon, your personal information being out there. Basically, you almost sign a consent agreement when you get a cell phone or a computer that says, yeah, you're giving up all of your privacy. Everything is going to be tracked. Everything is going to be marketed to you. Have fun with that. But I'm concerned about my privacy with the future of singularity and everything else. Okay, a little bit late to be concerned about that. But they're really interested in most, unless you've got a FISA warrant on you, they're interested in the larger data patterns about you. Now, at some point, they may very well be interested in, are you doing everything in an environmentally conscious way? Let's check your credit card. Aha, you did this on such and such day. We're going to assess you $500 for that. I can see that happening. Can you? I mean, really? Is there ever been a chance to make revenue that New York State, for example, has not said, got to get in on that. Let's wet our beaks. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. What is grinding your gears? What is aggravating you? What is ticking you off? It could be big. It could be rather trivial. Doesn't matter to me. I mean, your concern matters to me, but you can pick the subject. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get back to the calls. What is aggravating you? What's grinding your gears? I love this topic. It's like an open line, but you have to have some attitude. Here's CJ in Buffalo on WBEN. CJ.
Hello there.
Yes, my dear.
Yeah, I don't really have a complaint. It's just a couple of things that bother me. How's that?
Well, okay, I don't know what the difference might be, but I'm here for you to vent. I'm here to relieve your heavy burden.
Okay, as I drive around, why do folks put perfectly good furniture out on the curb for the trash guys to pick it up and put it in a landfill?
I will give you the answer to that, CJ. Would you like the answer to that? I have it. People put furniture that is... I have the answer. People put perfectly good furniture in front of their homes for garbage pickup in the hopes... Well, first of all, they tried to sell it, but they couldn't. They tried to give it away to people they knew, but they couldn't do that. So they put it on the trash area of the property to make it available to people who are going to stop by, who will just pick it up and take it home. The intent is, if it's good, perfectly good furniture, people are going to take it home and use it.
Well, why don't folks just call the Salvation Army or St. Vincent de Paul and have them come pick it up? I've seen furniture out for days. I mean, we haven't had any rain, but...
I think I also have the answer to that, because a lot of those places will not come into your house and get the furniture. You have to get the furniture outside, and for a lot of people getting rid of furniture, that's a physically impossible task, unless they know Nick Orticelli.
Well, they'll come in as long as it's on the first floor. They won't go to the second floor, but they'll come to the first floor. I've done it many times, but I see china cabinets and dining room tables and side chairs and wonderful pieces, and they sit out there for days and days. You know, there's so many charitable organizations. Just give them a call and they'll come.
My dear, but, if like they were that good, I'm going to argue that if they were that good and that desirable, somebody would have taken them. And, you know, we did a show on garbage picking a few weeks back, and it was awesome, quite frankly. There is a little code of etiquette to it, which I'm not going to get into right now. But people, I assure you, anytime you see a decent piece of furniture outside, people tried to sell it. They couldn't. People tried to give it away. They couldn't. Their next step is, I'll put it out for garbage. Maybe somebody will pick it up and make use of it. I mean, if I'm wrong, folks, you tell me. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. My love, I want to hear more of what you have to say, but you did ask some questions, and I think I thought I could give you some decent answers to those questions. I'm going to put you on hold and get back to you after the news at 5. But does anybody dispute my analysis of this? And quite frankly, it's very difficult getting rid of furniture. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Try selling furniture sometime on one of the online sites. It's not easy. And good heavens, if you are not able to bring furniture from the second floor, good luck. And some of the places don't even want to come into your house. You got to leave it outside. It depends on which organization it is of which we're speaking, but I'm sure many of you have run into that. I know I've run into that. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. More calls coming up talking about what aggravates you. Might be big, might be small. I'm open. Just have a little bit of an attitude. That's good. Just not at me, of course, but at whatever it is at which you're angry.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. It might be big, it might be small, might be something political, might be something lifestyle. What is grinding your gears? What's aggravating you? It's kind of like open line, but with maybe a little bit of a sting to it. Got to get that anger up. This is talk radio. If you're not angry, my job is to make you angry. Let's go to CJ again in Buffalo. Are you at least somewhat contented with the explanation I did offer regarding the furniture that is perfectly good that is left at the curb?
Well, I've had very good experiences with charitable organizations and that the Buy Nothing website. It's a little different if you have upholstered furniture, but for dining room tables and kitchen tables and hutches and things like that, I've never had a problem with them coming over and picking them up. It just seems you gotta, you know, take a little extra effort and keep this stuff out of the landfill.
It's gonna biodegrade. It's just wood. It's just wood. It'll biodegrade.
It's just wood. And if with upholstered furniture, if you've ever had a cat or a dog, they're going to go over it with a fine-tooth comb to see if there's any pet hair, and they won't take it. So I understand why some upholstered things end up at the curb. But, you know, just make a couple of calls usually, and especially Buy Nothing. My goodness, I've had such good luck with that website. But that's all I'm going to talk about with furniture.
But one of the things is, though, if you're having people into your house that you don't know, aren't you kind of giving yourself a risk? Aren't you kind of making yourself a target? And then if they hurt themselves while in your house carrying the furniture down, they're going to come after you legally.
Well, I'm not a suspicious kind of person. I'm just glad that somebody can make use of some of the things that I have.
Eyes wide open, kid.
My friends have never had an issue with it, and I do it all the time. But changing the subject, yes. I have another little tiny complaint. The town plants a baby tree in front of your house, and no one waters the tree. And it's not difficult to dump a bucket of water on the baby tree. Baby trees need a lot of water. And then the baby tree dies and people complain. So I would just like to put it out there. If you're lucky enough to get a baby tree planted in front of your house, just take a bucket of water out there once in a while and dump it on the base.
Well, you know, I have a different view of that, actually, CJ, because that baby tree is eventually going to become a medium-sized tree and then a larger tree, maybe a very large tree, at which point its roots are going to dislodge your sidewalk, for which you are going to be on the hook financially.
Oh, my goodness. I love trees. I'll never complain about trees.
Oh, I will. And it cost me $4,000 to fix the sidewalk. You're damn right I'm going to complain. They offered me a tree, and I said, hell no. I do not want a tree.
Oh, I love all our trees on the street. We have a bunch of baby trees, and we're all watering them, and they're glorious. And I have not had a problem with my sidewalk. Sorry.
Well, don't be sorry. I'm glad you didn't have a problem with your sidewalks. But if you walk around enough, and I've certainly walked around a lot, you will see a lot of dislodged concrete things, and they always seem to be near a tree for some reason. Can't imagine why.
I think it depends on the type of tree that they plant.
Well, of course.
I know the silver maples were horrible, but I don't see them planting any more silver maples. But
no.
The trees we've had, they're big, they're glorious. Just throw a bucket of water on them once in a while.
All right, CJ. Looking out for the trees. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. There's a lady who's into wood, whether it's furniture. Now, how does she feel about the baby tree being murdered when it's a grown-up so we can get the wood with which to build the furniture she wants to save? Cycle of life. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Don't worry, Nick. I don't have any more furniture for you. Here's Tom in Wheatfield on WBEN. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Great.
Yeah, prompt will become under small, but my issue, the thing that bugs me, is packaging and labeling. Oh. You ever open a bag of potato chips anymore? That everything rips. You open a box of cereal, you want to take the cereal out of the bag inside the box, it rips.
Yes.
You got to transfer it all to one of those Ziploc bags or something. Just annoying, you know. But and the other one is labeling. Did you ever know, like, why would expiration date, you need the Hubble telescope to find the expiration date on packaging.
You know what? You have hit, Tom, on the great bane of anybody over the age of 40, certainly anybody over the age of 60. Suddenly, everything seems to have been written in two-point type. Yes, I share your pain, and I have an answer for you.
What?
Do what everybody else does. Take your cell phone out. Take your cell phone out. Get the camera on. Use the camera as a magnifying glass. Take a picture. Problem solved.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, if I can remember to do that, that's the other
Hey, look, it's the same thing you're going to have to do at a restaurant because, as you know, you see better in bright light than you do in dark light. So you go to a restaurant, they give you the menu, and I can't read the damn things. So
I just bring out
the cell phone, take a picture of the menu.
Yeah, well, true, yeah. Yeah, it's just annoying, just so, but everything is so cheap. Actually, the other day, too, I bought a box, Harry's Blades.
Yes.
You know, there's a plastic box inside the box. I thought they had the Hope Diamond in the box. I could hardly get it open. I mean, I'm a big guy, you know, but unbelievable. What's going on here?
Okay, it is a conspiracy to frustrate the American people. And look, you are not alone.
You
know what? It's small, but it's extremely relevant because a lot of people out there, especially 40, you know, your eyes supposedly go when you're 40 years old as far as the close-up vision, and it really will get bad after you're 50 or 60, whenever that day may come, sir.
Well, I'm in my 70s anyhow.
I might have been joking about that. But it is a universal thing, and it is a truism that the older you become, the smaller print becomes. It moves with you. It's dynamic. You could have bought something in 1968, but somehow the print actually shrank. It's bizarre. Thanks very much. I appreciate the call.
And
now you know why some magazines used to put out the big print edition. Yeah, it's for us old farts who can't see very well up close. Ask Tanner. I'm horrible. My distance vision is awesome. As I've said before, I can see a gerbil running out of a bathhouse from a mile away. But the up close vision, the reading vision, good Lord, it's bad. It's really bad. I can't read. Yeah, Bowerly, illiterate. You suspected as much for many years. Your complaint. Basically, it's like an open line, but with attitude. With your complaint, might be something big, might be something small. Whether trivial, might be grand, might be trivial. I'm open and curious. Let's go to Julianne of North Tonawanda. Julianne, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I have a good one. I'm handicapped. I'm visually handicapped. Okay. You go into a store. There is no curb, but they have a yellow line painted on the flat spot. You go to the next store, there is a curb to step up. They've got a yellow line painted on the top of that one. You don't know when you should be stepping up, when you should be stepping down.
I've never heard this one before.
I've been waiting to get a hold of you for a long while. Focus.
All about paint. I guess I'm the paint guy now. Between Sheridan Drive and your call, I've suddenly become the, how do you properly mark things with paint? That's my job now.
Correct.
Thank you for that. I appreciate the appointment. Let's not leave this one behind because this is important to you. And look,
this is a handicap one too.
And I understand your. Well, let's stick with your first one primarily, and then we'll get to the second one. Have you talked to the business owner or manager in front of which the sidewalk or curb is not properly marked? Have you made your concerns known?
They say they don't have anything to do with it. I think when the DOT or anyone that decides on what they're going to do with something, same as you talked yesterday about the bicycle pass, they get people in there that ride bicycles, blind people, handicapped people, and ask them what their opinions are. How should it be done? We know how it should be done, but it's a sighted man's world.
Well, as far as the public spaces, but the private parking lots, they're going to be maintained and striped by the contractor hired by the property owner.
Oh, really?
Well, of course. If it's a private parking lot, the municipality or city doesn't have anything to do with that. That's just the responsibility of whoever owns that particular parcel of land and probably leases out a whole bunch of places.
Okay.
It's very expensive, I might add. It's extremely expensive.
It's very aggravating because I never know who's ever with me. Do I step up or do I step down?
Well, you know, the people with you should be telling you that. Okay, there's a step here.
They do, but, you know, I got 2% vision in the one eye, and I can see the yellow line. Now, the other one is handicapped parking, and I don't know how many people even know about this.
Now, you had one more complaint, which was what?
Yes, okay. You got handicapped signs for handicapped parking. You have a sticker. Now, you see a handicapped sign, and you say, oh, I'll pull in here. Put your sticker up. On the right-hand side where you get out of the car, there is a wide area that's painted with white stripes. Do you know why it's there?
Of course I do, because people with wheelchair vans need room to get out.
Very good, Tom. I've asked a million people to drive. I can't see. I don't drive or anything. I know what it's for. And they should have the sign next to that should be marked wheelchair van only. And where the stripe is should be blue and marked ramp van.
Oh, you know, I agree with you. I think people aren't being mean and nasty. I think they're just not educated as to what those lines actually mean. And those of you who do have or sometimes transport people with the handicap sticker for the car, the card you hang from the rear view. First of all, you can't have that card up when you're driving. Nothing should be hanging from your rear view mirror in New York State
right.
when you're driving. That's a motor vehicle violation. But as far as those lines, I know somebody who is has CP, wheelchair-bound, but still very mobile, and one of her biggest complaints every time I've seen her is, I can't believe people parked on the lines that I need to get out in my wheelchair. And it's a real concern with people who just want to live their lives and not be hassled any more than they already are. So that's a good catch, and I'm grateful. Thank you.
Well, why aren't they painted blue instead of white?
You know what? I don't know. I can't really place the color of them offhand.
They're
I
don't white. Know that They're the color, always white.
I don't know that the color would make any difference to people.
It would match the sign.
I like your idea better of putting a sign up saying wheelchair van only. That kind of makes the point.
Yes, it does. Because, I mean, they can't let you out unless they're parked in a proper spot.
You are quite correct, and I'm glad you called in. I think that affects more people than you know. I appreciate it. And the other thing, too, I mean, if we're going to talk about handicap, one of the things that bothers me, the people who drive around with the handicap tag hanging from their rearview mirror. No, not good. It's got to come down until you park, then you put it up. The other thing is, too, there are some people who get very, shall we say, they become the handicap parking law enforcement officer. And you have to understand, not everybody with a handicap sticker or permit is going to be visibly disabled. They may have a lung condition or a heart condition or a knee condition that you might not see. And they are entitled to a handicap spot. Just because they're not walking around with crutches or in a wheelchair or missing a limb doesn't mean they don't qualify for the tag. So hold the judgment. Unless you know the full story. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Talking about, well, we've got the complaint line open. It's kind of like open line, but it's your chance to get something off your chest. And I love the calls we've had so far. I was hoping for something really, really super big. And that was our first caller about the cashless society. How come they aren't taking cash at certain public venues? Well, their choice. They've chosen not to do it. But I do believe we're heading toward a cashless society, and coin collectors are probably wondering about the future of their hobby.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
And then he was a she says, hey, babe. take a walk on the wild side.
Mm.
Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side.
Every time they're talking about the fair, this song is going through my head every time they play that audio, right? It's Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program. My complaint line is open. It's kind of like open lines, but it's kind of got a little attitude to it, kind of has a little edge to it. And we've heard a whole bunch of stuff. Some of it has been kind of trivial for most people. Other stuff has been rather on the serious side. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. What ticks you off? What grinds your gears? What are you upset about right now? I mean, there's so much about which you could actually be upset. You should be angry. You should be furious. Your blood should be boiling. I'm the guy to dump it all on. That's what I'm here to do. Here's Phil on a cell phone on WBEN. Hello, Phil.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Magnificent.
You know, one of the things we've talked about numerous times is the gas ban. And I heard you mentioned it earlier on your show. When I think about something that should make people furious, that should make the entire state of New York furious, I can't think of any one thing that's happening in the state that should do that more so than this topic. When you think about how important gas is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I forgive my interruption. I was simply saying I agree. And if it makes you feel any better, anytime I've ever done shows on this idiotic nincompoop idea of the electrification of New York State, people do care. But there's also this sense that not a lot of people know what's going on or appreciate the ramifications of what's going on. Most importantly, how they're going to be boned financially.
You know, that's exactly why I'm calling. Since I've been speaking about this over the last 2 years, you know, I'm a residential home builder. I'm the front line of this topic every day, and we're the ones that have to deal with this first, beyond all the other residents that are going to have to deal with this eventually in the future, is that there seems to be either a lack of caring about it or a lack of awareness. And, you know, it's difficult for our industry, which is relatively small in the scope of things, to try to, you know, spend money and get this message out. I appreciate you talking about it many times on the show because you've done your part, and so has other Dominic Ortiz, for example, has done his part too. But it's frustrating to me because when I talk to people, and that as early as this past weekend, I was at a family wedding, and I was talking to people about this, and I couldn't believe how many people were unaware of this happening or didn't think that it was going to affect them because they weren't building a new home.
Okay, I at this point, I am going to interrupt. And one of the reasons, Phil,
sure,
why this topic is of interest to me is because I don't think a lot of people understand how they're going to have it stuck to them financially because of the electrification of New York State. And for those who have not heard me earlier, let me simply say again that, first of all, the electrical grid is in the process of being upgraded and updated. The State Public Service Commission has said to the utilities, you can pass those upgrade costs on to your customers. So that is going to be a massive amount of money that they're going to have to bring in from the stakeholders and ratepayers to make up for the modernization of the grid. Number two, your local school taxes in New York State are going to go up really a lot because the school districts are going to have to buy new electric school buses. Going to be a lot of fun in the wintertime. New electric school buses, which go, by the way, for anywhere from $300,000 right now to $450,000 right now. A diesel bus, you're looking at maybe $100,000, $100,500. They're a lot cheaper than the, I mean, you might as well buy a Rolls Royce for what they're talking about with these EV buses. So you're also going to have to pay for the charging stations. So if you've got a district with 100 buses, you're going to have to pay for a whole bunch of charging stations because you don't think the school district is going to take up a collection among teachers, right? They're not going to pass the pickle jar. They're not going to pass the hat. That's going to come out of the taxpayers. And again, you are going to be on the hook, and I haven't even talked about the money you're going to have to fork over when your gas appliance dies on you, the money you're going to have to fork over if you are building a new home, and oh yeah, your electric rates, the amount of money you're paying on your electricity has gone up for many of you with the smart meters because, as I understand it, the smart meters have a way to basically say, we can charge more because you're using electricity during a peak time. Of course they want you to have a smart meter because why would they be pushing it if there wasn't a payoff for them? Go ahead, Phil.
No, you're spot on with every single thing you said. What I try to tell the people that don't think it's going to affect them is the comment you made about the Public Service Commission. They're getting rate increase requests from all the various suppliers of electricity and gas to upgrade the grid to meet the state standards. Without that state standard law being in place as it is today, those increases would not be necessary. Not to say that there doesn't need to be continual upgrades to the grid. Obviously it does, but not to the level that they're doing it now. And of the 20% increases I hear being requested, approximately 75% of that increase is going towards those improvements.
Well, it ain't cheap to upgrade an electrical grid that hasn't been really fixed up since about 1898.
But I guess the point is when people say
I might be exaggerating to some degree.
I think when people say I'm not building a new home, so it doesn't affect me, what's frustrating to me, and that's the purpose of this call and the topic that you have on today, is what's frustrating me is that people don't understand that it will affect them, that it is affecting them. It's affecting them now.
It is hitting people right in their family's financial future. And again, here we see another instance where policies enacted by radical left-wing Democrats who claim to be all about working people are actually going to stick it to working people.
Amen. And when you talk about attitude and you talk about being angry, I'm very angry about this.
So for those who aren't building a home, I mean, we've kind of danced around this a little bit, but let's just say somebody has a good old high-efficiency natural gas furnace that they've been using, and after 2030 or so, it dies. What are their options?
Well, when they enact the next phase, after new construction, that, by the way, is up to seven-story buildings, both commercial and residential, and I want to clarify one thing I've talked about in the past. I misspoke. I thought the propane was going to be allowed. It's not going to be allowed. It is considered a fossil fuel, and it will be considered just like natural gas. And I'm sorry if I misspoke about that in the future, in the past. But
oh, no. Whenever I say something that's an error, I think people just heard me the wrong way. That's a good option.
when the next wave comes that starts to affect the existing homeowners, it will be the replacement of various gas components in your house. They will start to prohibit you to replace it with natural gas and have you start to convert to electric.
Yeah, and so by the way, it is going to affect
everybody. They're not ready for that.
No, they're not. And I'm sorry, but if you find out that, let's say, a piece of household equipment for which you might have budgeted $10,000, $12,000 is actually going to be $25,000, maybe $30,000 by the time you need to replace it and then retrofit things, suddenly I don't think you're going to be singing the praises of Kathy Hochul.
I don't think people understand the last part of what you just said, retrofit things.
Oh,
I don't think they understand
explain.
That they have to increase their amperage of their current electric box, especially on older homes. Some older homes only have 60 or 80 amps. New construction, we put in 200 amps. When you start to put in heat pumps and electric hot water tanks and other electric devices that you don't currently have in your home, you're going to overtax that amperage, and you're going to have to bring in a new line from the road to increase the amperage and do a sub-panel. Which, when you're talking about replacing, let's say, your furnace and a couple other appliances, and you have to do that, that costs thousands and thousands of dollars just to do what I just said.
Absolutely, sir, Phil. And look, I will keep doing shows on the electrification of New York State fiasco as long as there is interest in it. And what I'm trying to do is get myself even more familiar than I am with the electrical grid in New York State and all of the issues so I can hopefully bring more intelligence to the conversation. But what I want people to know right now is you are going to be paying in New York State for the electrification of New York State. You're going to be paying through the butt for electricity. You're going to be paying through the butt to replace the school buses in your district. Your school taxes are going to rise ridiculously. You're also going to be paying a lot more when they say you can't have a gas appliance anymore. You got to go electric because in some cases, you're going to have to do a lot more than just buy a new appliance. You're going to have a whole new electrical contractor come out and do your house properly for the new demands of the electricity and all the other things we have discussed. This is so bad for the people of New York State. And it's all in the name of climate change. And I think we explained climate change adequately yesterday. Yes, wrap it up.
Can I add one? Yes. People ask me all the time, what can I do about it? And it's really simple. Go on New York State's website, find your assemblyman, find your senators and the governor, obviously, and write to them. people think it doesn't matter. It does matter. When they see the masses starting to swell and write and get upset about this topic, they know that they have to get reelected in 2 years.
You know, Phil, I wish I could be optimistic, but I'm not in New York State because, honestly, they really don't care. They have an ideology that they need to advance. They're not going to backtrack from their ideology. And I guarantee you that if some politician loses re-election because of this issue, as long as they're loyal to the party, they're going to find them a job somewhere else. No worry. And that's the problem. There's no accountability because they're going to find a job for him somewhere else.
What else would you recommend we do?
You have many options. I mean, let's put it this way.
Other than leaving the state.
Well, I'm just saying, but I'm not really optimistic that, I mean, you could have marches in the street. We had thousands of people in Albany to protest NY Safe. What changed? It got worse.
Look what happened when they wanted to have the prison guards fired when they went on strike. The public came out screaming, and they changed their minds within a week.
True.
They had that kind of screaming about this topic.
But let's look at this through a different prism. Okay, what did the correction guards gain from the strike? Nothing. Nothing changed.
They didn't lose their jobs, though.
No, they didn't. Well, they didn't lose their jobs, but nothing changed that sparked the action to begin with, and that's really unfortunate. But again, I think it was a good lesson in how the unions failed to come to the support of the corrections officers. What other union did? You know who came to the support of the corrections officers? People like Nick Langworthy, people like Borrello, and some of the Republican lawmakers from Albany. They were supporting the union people, the Democrats, and the unions. They didn't want anything to do with them. So much for solidarity. Jimmy Hoffa, RIP.
Yeah, Nick Langworthy is coming forward with a bill federally that may prohibit all states from doing this.
Well, Ed, the question is that overreach and is this a 10th Amendment right reserved to New York State and other states? I suspect it'll be decided by a Biden or Obama appointee that it would be overreach and the 10th Amendment applies up yours, Uncle Sam. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And I mean, Phil is so right about this. And I've done a lot of shows on it. I've talked more about the electrical grid than I ever thought I would. But I happen to think this is a really important topic because I don't think most of you listening to my voice right now, I don't think you understand how you're going to get screwed with more school taxes, with higher electrical rates. I don't think you get it yet. And you're going to be calling in a few years saying, Tom, my electrical bill, my school taxes are chasing me out of my house. And of course, really poor people, they're not going to pay. So you're going to subsidize the really poor people as well. Bring in some more illegals. Why not? Sooner or later, as has often been stated, the problem with socialism and left-wing policies is you run out of other people's money. And do you think people with money got money by being financially not savvy? No. I mean, look at Tom Golisano. Here's a guy who supported Democrats, 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 Democrats. And what did he do? He got out of New York State. Hello. Wonder why. Let's go to Derek in East Aurora. Derek, you're on WBEN. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Great.
I work for a local utility. I'm a transmission lineman. So I see all the stuff that's in the works as it is right now. And as it stands, our system is barely holding on in some spots with the infrastructure that we have currently. So for them to think that this is all just going to happen at the snap of a finger is just such a pipe dream. I mean, we're making repairs on things that are 70, 80 years old. That's still in the system.
Sir, I was doing some research about this, and my understanding is we're not talking about years. We're talking about decades.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the amount of work that it would take, because not only would you have to upsize the conductors to be able to handle, you know, all the increased load, then you're talking about increased load on the structures themselves, because then you're making a bigger conductor, which is a heavier weight, while the original structures weren't designed for that weight. And you're not just changing out wires, you're changing out entire lines, miles and miles and miles of line and structures.
My dear friend,
right now, as it is, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My dear friend, Eric, I am out of time. I would welcome an email from you, and I would like to actually call you back when I bring this up again for your perspective, as long as it's not going to get you into trouble, because my radio show doesn't need to get you losing a job. So send me an email, tom@wben.com, tom@wben.com, because I am going to cover this topic. I might even do it again next week. I might do it later this week, because obviously it turns me on, no pun intended. So send me an email, tom@wben.com. I would like to hear more of what you have to say, because you are a lineman. So thank you very much. I'd play some Glenn Campbell, but again, we are out of time. I do want to thank Tanner Saunders for magnificent work.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.